We are joined now from Palm Springs, California, by Richard Pryor Jr., the son of the fabulous comedian of the same name, and he is at work with an April publication, and hopefully we'll talk to him when the book comes out, In a Pryor Life. And good morning to you, Richard Pryor Jr.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. You were born in Peoria, Illinois, 1962. Your dad was a young man then. I think he was 21 years old, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was actually 19 when I was actually born, yeah. But he started off quickly after that. I think within 2 years he was in New York performing.
And you, of course, had a front row seat to the one of the most talented men to ever grace the stage, the small screen, the big screen. How was it growing up as the son of Richard Pryor with the same name?
It's had its up and downs over the years. You know, I've learned to deal with it now. But when I was younger, it was a lot of times it was more of a curse than a blessing in my life. You know, and, you know, not knowing who your friends were and not knowing what people were genuine and real to you. So it took a lot of learning that and the process, going through the process. Just have to go through it and learn who's who and what's what.
Well, you did not have an idyllic childhood, did you?
No, I didn't. My childhood was, my mother's side of the family, I thought was really normal, except for, you know, the alcoholism in the family. But my dad's side, you know, my great grandmother was a madam. So, you know, dealing with both sides of that, you know, the prostitutes around and bootlegging and all that stuff, which I thought was normal, a normal way of life, actually.
Oh, my. So you were exposed to a house of prostitution in Peoria?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember, you know, when I was younger, probably about 14, 15, learning to play spades, and I'd be sitting with the girls playing cards, and they'd be like, you know, hold that hand, I got to go upstairs and turn a trick, you know? So it was kind of those things I had to deal with.
As a very young boy.
As a very young boy, yeah. And also selling bootleg when I was younger. I remember, you know, 6 years old, you know, selling bootleg and stuff, you know, somebody would come to the house. I was at my grandmother's or my aunt's house, and, you know, somebody would come, and I would actually sell them the bootleg.
Did you develop some bad habits?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I went through the whole thing of drugs and, you know, the alcohol and over excessive amounts of everything. I think a lot of things I learned later in life, a lot of things I went through was because I wanted acceptance because I saw my dad doing it. And when you see everybody else doing something, you think it's a normal thing. And I realized how detrimental it is to your life.
I remember your dad saying that you almost didn't make it, that you were born an exceptionally small boy. Exceptionally small.
I was my mother only carried me for 6 months. I weighed 2 pounds, 3 ounces. And then I dropped to 1 pound, 9 ounces. So I was in the hospital quite a while after my birth.
And at one point, you were so small that when your parents bought socks for your feet, they had to buy doll socks, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, my mother and them would buy doll socks. And then they also, at the time, you know, diapers were cloth diapers, and they would buy the, you know, the, like the little newborn diapers and everything. They would actually have to cut those in half because that's the only thing that would fit me.
Well,
and my grandfather would hold me in his palm of his hand.
Your dad is known as one of the great entertainers of all time. He lasted 65 years despite not taking care of himself. He was a U.S. Army veteran, by the way.
Right.
And he had an active social life. I count 5 wives that were known. How was it with so many women moving in and out of his life, and how did that affect you?
Well, he was married 5 wives 7 times. I mean, he was married actually 7 times with 5 different women. He married 2 of them twice. It was a revolving door. It was like my father, you know, he enjoyed the idea of getting married, but the part of being married wasn't his cup of tea. You know, when you've been around and never seen anybody faithful and don't know how to live your life in that way, there's just turmoil. And with him, you know, with the drug use, with a lot of them, with the, you know, the heavy with the drug use during those time periods, there's no way you can function in a proper way, you know, mm-hmm. especially with your status.
Women loved him. He had, as you noted, five wives, but had other relationships, including one with the remarkable Pam Grier. And she wrote about him, not so flattering, in her portrayal of their relationship. Did you know her?
Yeah, I actually did know her. I remember when she came to Peoria when they had Richard Pryor Day one time years ago when I was younger. The thing that you know, that stands out with me about with the comments she made regarding her book, I'm like, if that happened to her, how come no one else was affected? Because he slept with an awful lot of women. So, you know, it just makes me think and wonder, you know, if that was actually the cause of her issues.
Do you remember when your dad almost died with the fire that consumed his body?
Yeah, that was actually a week after my high school graduation. I graduated, I believe it was on June 2nd of 1980, and the following Tuesday was when he had his the burn incident. And I remember hearing about it on the radio before we received a call. So it was kind of shocking, you know, driving and then hearing on the radio what had happened to your father.
And he made a heroic comeback that had to entail a lot of discipline. People who said his life was undisciplined, in many ways it was, but to come back from where he was and to be what he became after that, it took quite a man to do that.
Yes, it takes quite a man for that, but it also, I believe that, you know, for him, he's the kind of person that doesn't hold anything back and shared everything about his life, and to be able to be strong enough to share something that's very serious but make people laugh at it so that they don't go away feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, mm-hmm. look, oh my God, look at him, look what happened. Being able to laugh about a situation and turn that situation around to laughter, I think that was remarkable of him.
Some listeners have sent some inquiries about his substantial film career, and Holly asked, did he write Blazing Saddles? I thought that was Mel Brooks, but he was...
Yeah, he actually wrote with Mel Brooks. He was a co-writer on that film, Blazing Saddles. I know Mel Brooks had originally wanted him to play the lead role that eventually went to Cleavon Little, but the studios were a little hesitant of hiring my dad because he was unpredictable. So Mel Brooks allowed him to write portions of the film and everything. So it turned out really well. And you have to also look at, I'm looking at different people, their careers and everything, where their careers went. I'm wondering, you know, if my dad would have received that role, would his career be non-existent after that?
And he filmed The Toy here in Baton Rouge with Jackie Gleason, a movie that some believe is quite racist. I'm sure you remember that one as well.
Yes, I remember that as well. I know my sister was on location for that during that time period, one of my little sisters and everything. Yeah, I think it was a thing where, you know, you need the money, you know. You got to get the paycheck and everything and work. But I look back out on it now, a lot of the films and even TV shows that we used to see back in the 70s and things of that nature, they couldn't play now because people wouldn't support them because of the racial overtones.
Well, The Toy made a lot of money, and it is a beautiful look at Baton Rouge, but it is certainly a racist theme and one of Jackie Gleason's last films. Richard Pryor's full name was Richard Franklin Lennox Thomas Pryor III, so I guess that makes you Richard Franklin Lennox Thomas Pryor IV.
Yeah, my mother actually dropped off the Lennox Thomas part of it. I just have Franklin. But actually, a funny story, when I was born, my name was Rodney Clay Pryor. And my father was jealous and thought I was named after a boyfriend of hers, an old boyfriend of hers, even though she was only, you know, 16 when she got married to him, that he secretly went up to the hospital and changed my name to Richard.
There you go. Well, you'll come back when the book comes out, I hope.
I'll definitely. The book actually is coming out now because of demand of it. We're actually releasing the book now, May 1st.
All right. In a Prior Life, and we'll be talking again with Richard Pryor, Jr. Today, by the way, is the 51st birthday of Lisa Marie Presley. famous daughter of a famous star, and it's a shame we didn't have Elvis Jackson. Until Monday, thanks for listening and stay tuned.